Happy New Year! Wow, it's great to be back. We had a great period of time off, and that's always enjoyable. But I do miss you when I'm gone, and it's great to be back with the team as well. And boy, I wish we would have come back with something to talk about, but we'll figure out... We'll figure out something to talk about. I promise you that.
Well, the beginning of the year is always a little slow, Paul.
Yeah. This one started with a bang, so to speak, and a bomb and some other things, and we'll get into that. Michael Parsons, you hear. That's our executive producer. Danielle Mason, you will hear from. She's running all the controls. And then Rich Luzinski, when he's not busy creating other things, he keeps an eye always on our WJR traffic and weather first. I'm going to ask you, all of you individually, did you have a good holiday, good time off? Mike, I'll start with you.
Yes, it was much needed, but probably much like you, Paul, probably towards the end of last week, I started getting a little fidgety, started reading the emails, and but that's good. I think by the time you're bored with your time off, that means you're rested and reinvigorated and ready to go.
And I never used to take as much time off as I am allowed until Kim came into my life, and she explained, and she was right, that it, even though you're too close to the trees to see the forest or whatever that expression is, you are better, fresher, and I think you do a better job when you've had some time off and get a little perspective, and then you come back. I mean, that's the way it feels for me. I don't like being off because this is what I've been doing since I was 15, but I do feel the benefit of getting away for a little bit, and that's what we will do from time to time. So I'm glad you are back and feel good about it. Did you go anywhere, do anything? Did you anything special?
No, I actually was very, you know, usually with my time off, I try to jam it with as much as I can, which I think leaves me more tired than when I started. But yeah,
sure.
Had the nieces and nephews in town, so it was great to have
a couple of
kids for Christmas. And other than that, I just caught up on my sleep. I did not even make it till 11 p.m. on New Year's Eve. So I was well rested to begin the new year.
Well, you have no excuse to not make it to midnight. I have the excuse when I say that if 70 is the new 50, 9 p.m. is the new midnight on
right.
New Year's Eve. That's my line. So, Danielle, anything special for this holiday break for you?
I did too much. I didn't really rest. I'm not very good at that. Like every day that I said, oh, I'm not going to do anything today, I just planned something and went out of the house.
Well, you are very young, and it's hard to just stop doing something.
Oh, yeah. I have an issue with that.
All right. Well, and I don't know if Rich is anywhere near a microphone, but I know that he always keeps adding things to Instagram and whatever the other social media things are. He's always got something going on there.
I'm here,
he's not clear.
My way of kind of... therapeutically getting through New Year's.
Mm. Yeah, well, and you've had life changes that all of us eventually will go through, and it's always hard for first holidays after losing a loved one, and we were thinking about you and hoping you were okay, but you looked like you bounced back beautifully online.
Thank you so much.
All right, a couple of quick things here. I've always said this. I've never quoted it exactly right, but I always used to say it was Cher, I thought, who said this thing, and it turns out it was Cher, and it was like in the 1980s, in a quote taken from a Jack LaLanne health spa ad. I spent time with Jack LaLanne. Do you even know who that is?
That's the guy who pulled the truck with his teeth in a rope, right?
He did many things like that. Yeah, you got the guy.
Yeah.
And he wore a little jumpsuit.
Right.
And he was a little guy, but he was in great shape. And I got a lot of stories about Jack LaLanne. But back in the 80s, he hired Cher to do a commercial for his fitness boss. And she said, and I have butchered this quote a million times, as has a number of people, but she says, fitness, if it came in a bottle, everybody would have a great body. Finally, I can apply that to this bit of news that Nova, the Danish drug maker, has launched Wegovy weight loss pills for sale. So there it is. Fitness in a bottle, and people are going to grab it.
Yeah, and when you read that quote, I thought, I didn't know where you're going with it, but my first thought was these GLP-1s or whatever they're called. And, you know, there's some industries that are actually hurting because people are losing weight. Like
they're not eating. They're not eating as much.
Right. Which,
and there's all kinds of stuff out there now, too, a secondary, thirdly market for people doing those GLPs. I guess I'm doing a GLP, Mounjaro. It's all about, mine is actually about diabetes.
But, right.
But be that as it may, people are using these things to lose weight. Now, I have sad news, but I think it's, honestly, I think it's BS. And here it is. Did you see the class action suit over what some people are saying is the lack of rib meat in our favorite McRib sandwich? I love that sandwich. That.
Me too. and I'll say the exact same thing that I said when they said that there was horse meat found in Taco Bell. I guess I like horse meat. I guess I like fake rib meat because I love the McRib.
I love the McRib. This is like crazy. And now McDonald's is saying our fan favorite McRib sandwich is made with 100% pork sourced from farmers and suppliers across the U.S. We've always been transparent about our ingredients so guests can make the right choice for them. So, look, it is, the McRib is pork. How they get it to that point, I mean, I didn't expect it to be little ribs on that sandwich to break your teeth on.
Changes nothing for me. I'm still going to get out, go out and get it as soon as I find out it's back.
Good for you. Good for you. I think most of us will, those of us who have liked it very much. All right, so we know of the attack there to bring in. In fact, I'm watching a monitor. Maduro, I guess, is in court now, but I didn't see it.
Well, it's a federal court, so there's no cameras allowed.
So they don't have
cameras.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Well, that's good.
I think I saw the judge overseeing this as 92 years old.
No way.
There was a stat about a federal judge up on Fox News a second ago that said he's been the federal judge since 1998, and he's 92 years old.
That's shocking to me. I guess they're, I don't know what. I'm not going to make a funny line out of that. I don't know what it is. That's just
Alvin
shocking.
Hellerstein.
So our
92 years old, yes.
Our former president, Joe Biden, is now collecting with the largest taxpayer-funded pension of any ex-president in U.S. history, $417,000. Actually, $17,000 more than when he was working as president of the United States. That's a great pension we could all use. But he earned it, I guess, by being a United States senator. But let me play you this clip, if Danielle, you have it ready, because this is a 1989 clip of then-Senator Joe Biden, has his wits about him and everything, urging stronger anti-drug actions, including a strike force against narco-terrorists. To give you a little background on this, there's a longer clip, which I couldn't find, where he said Bush's war, this would be H.W. Bush, Bush's war on drugs was failing because the U.S. needed to go after cartels. Now, in this clip, he'll say an international group, but earlier in the thing, what he was saying was the U.S. needed to go after cartels. Listen to what he said here.
Let's go after the drug lords where they live with an international strike force. There must be no safe haven for these narco terrorists, and they must know it.
Yeah, there you are. So he was all for it then, but so were many Democrats, but that's until this president, who they're all against and are against anything he does, and there it is. People are going to find out all kinds of things wrong about this. Like they're saying, well, they're not in Venezuela. They're not cheering. Well, that's because they'll be killed by the people who are left behind. So we've seen the fall of the dictator. People are saying they kidnapped him. Well, he kidnapped Venezuela. Nicolas Maduro is in the Manhattan federal court right now. People like Mamdani and AOC, America off course, are saying how wrong this was. And yet you'll see people around the world, Venezuelans, cheering this action. Shouldn't we pay attention to what the Venezuelan people are saying, because they lived it with this savage. Whatever, there'll be so much conversation about this. We're going to, in fact, have some of it with U.S. Congresswoman Debbie Dingell up next here. We're back. It's Focus on WJR, Paul W. Smith at 12:15. All right, we start off this new year with an old friend, and it is a pleasure always to welcome back to the Paul W. Smith Focus Show, the one and only U.S. Congresswoman from the 6th District, Democrat Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. Congresswoman Dingell, I hope you had a wonderful holiday. Did you take some time off?
Paul W., it is great to talk to you. I worked until Christmas Eve and then spent time with family and friends, did a couple of events, and cleaned. Not exciting, but it makes you feel better.
It does, doesn't it? You clean stuff up. In my case, if I could get my desk in order, although I am very happy that when they show us people who are wildly successful, accomplished, and you see their desk, and it's like, oh my gosh, their desk is worse than mine. So I don't feel as bad then, and you should do the same. You know, give yourself a break. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you spent some time with family and friends, and now you've hit the ground running, and looks like there's a few things to talk about, Congresswoman.
It is not going to be a dull week in Washington, let's put it that way, and a lot of issues that really matter to our country.
Well, issues, for example, I know we have to get to the whole President Nicolas Maduro, although he wasn't the Venezuelan president, by the way. That's just the way that the liberal media refers to him. This is a man who was voted out of office and confiscated the office and wouldn't let the people who won the election into the office. I don't know how that gets lost in all of the translations. But here we have...
Paul W., I do think Democrats are acknowledging that. I think he was a despicable man. He was a dictator. He was an oppressor. You know, I'm going to quote Pope Leo from the weekend and say, I have a soul full of a lot of concern, but the world is better off for his not being there. Let me be clear on that.
Good. I'm glad to hear you say that. But I know that when you talk about things that are more important right now, let's face it, is that we have yet another government funding deadline. This drives me crazy. I know it drives you crazy because you're a woman of action. You'd like to see the people in Washington do their jobs and not have coming up with enough budget to keep the government going from month to month.
So I agree with you. I think the most important vote we're going to have this week, I mean, what's happening in Venezuela is very disturbing, and where are we going to go? And we can talk about that in a minute. But we're going to have a healthcare vote this week. And I think what people really need to be concerned about is that there are millions of people who actually started the new year without health insurance. And I'm never going to stop saying that if you live in this country, you should be able to go to the doctor when you need to go to the doctor and afford your medicine. So there are a lot of people that couldn't afford health insurance. We're going to have a vote this week in the House on extending the tax credit for the exchange. But what I hope it, and I believe it will pass, but what I hope it ends up in is that the House and Senate, they're Democrats and Republicans. Republicans and Democrats got to even worry about the order you say things in, talking about how we make sure that people have health insurance. And I'm hopeful that something will happen in a week or two because there are too many people that are scared. And I think most people haven't focused on it, but that this is good news that we're going to be voting this week yet on an omnibus in the House, which will take care of a number of the appropriation bills, commerce, justice, science, energy, and water development, interior and environment. And I pray that I don't think anybody wants to see a government shutdown, and we are going to be working very hard to prevent that. But we also have to make sure that we are protecting the American people. So, you know, this is going to be a month that we're going to be working very hard. We're going to be doing a lot. And there are a lot of issues that the American people care deeply about that we're going to be fighting for.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I sure would like to see if Now, I know that there are four Republicans in swing districts in the House teaming up with all the Democrats. I would like to see simply a proposal by the Republicans that we can read in black and white. The president has said for years now he's been working on this plan or whatever. Well, frankly, it's time to show it. It's time for all of us to see whatever plan he's talking about so that we don't have the dire situation that you've just talked about in terms of health care for the average American people. I mean, we just need to get that
fixed. I agree with you. We need to work together. I'm not into partisan game playing right now. I'm worried about the people that I represent and they're being able to go to the doctor when they need to go to the doctor. And I think it'll be more than four Republicans. I knew the four that signed that discharge petition. I told people that they would. But there, you know, once they got to 218 on the discharge petition, there were other Republicans that wanted to sign it. So we'll see what the vote's going to be this week. It's going to be a very interesting week in Washington.
It is indeed. By the way, quick reaction to the fact that you are going to see some changes based on the fraud claims there in Minnesota, including what's his name, Waltz, not running for re-election now. What's your take on that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm against government waste and fraud any place, anywhere. I don't have all the facts about Minnesota. I hear some's true and not true. You know what I did? I called the governor's office and said, how are we making sure that we do not have that kind of fraud, which they are? And HHS put out regulations today that each state has got to answer questions and be in compliance. My job is to represent Michigan and my district, and that's where I'm focused. And I think Tim Walz, you know, he's a good man. I've known him and Gwen for a long time, but made the right decision to focus on fraud in the state, and we'll see what happens. But we all have to. This shouldn't be a partisan issue either, although people shouldn't sensationalize issues either. We need facts. There's too much sensationalism and not enough facts. I am determined that in 2026, I want facts.
Okay. So just so I have this right, You've known Tim Walz and his wife a long time. It's in your heart, you don't believe that he knew about this kind of fraudulent activity taking place.
I don't. And, you know, Paul W., I don't have all the facts. So I'm told that some of this is not true. Some of it is some of it true. I mean, right now, wherever we are, whatever elected official we are, we need to make sure that public money is being spent correctly and not fraudulently, and that's a job of all of us.
All right. Amen on that. Now, you said you wanted to get in a word edgewise on the Nicolas Maduro capture. You said the world is better off without him in position, but what?
He is an evil man, but, you know, the fact of the matter is there are rules of law. The Congress wasn't briefed, which probably nobody cares about, but we are the only institution that can declare war. How many troops are on the ground now? What does it mean that America is going to run Venezuela? Now they're threatening to go into Cuba and other countries, Greenland. Okay, come on.
yeah.
We need
Mexico.
Facts.
Mexico, yeah, right.
Well, Mexico really got me worried, but we need facts. That's what I want, facts.
And then when you get those facts... Well, you'll formulate your opinion. Unlike the Mamdani and AOC, America Off Course, who've already said this was wrong.
I like quoting Pope Leo. I said it well. He said it well. He has a soul full of concern. I agree.
All right. We will leave you with that U.S. Congresswoman, Debbie Dingell, with a soul full of, did you say grief?
Concern.
Oh, so a soul full of concern. I got you.
That's a Pope Leo quote, and he's right.
All right. Well, I would expect you, as a good Catholic girl in your Catholic upbringing, to quote the Pope. Good for you. I don't know that I've ever quoted the Pope. I don't know if I've ever quoted the Pope, which indicates probably I'm not a good Catholic girl. Anyway, thank you, Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. Always a pleasure.
You're not a girl, Paul W. I love you. Oh, Happy New Year.
I might be feeling my female side right now. You can't say that. All right.
Okay. I think you're a good person.
Thank you, Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. We look forward to many spirited conversations in this new year. Take care.
I can't wait. Thank you. Right. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. 1229 at 760 WJR. Be back with you. Hope you had a fabulous holiday and you're ready to hit the ground running in this new year, the 5th of January, 2026. It is a pleasure always to welcome our Fox News correspondent and WJR contributor extraordinaire, Jeff Manasso, who is on the other end of our line right now. Jeff, hope you had a nice celebration, and I hope you had a little time off.
Yeah, I did, Paul. Happy New Year. Good to be with you, as always.
Always good to be with you. Lots to talk about regarding the massive fraud scandal in Minnesota centering around $9 billion in federal aid and daycares, basically stolen, but the latest shoe to drop, and there's probably a whole shoe store of shoes to drop here. But now the Democrat Governor Tim Walz has announced today he's dropping his bid for reelection in Minnesota, which is not a particularly good sign on what he thinks is going to be found out about this whole thing.
It is a political earthquake in the state of Minnesota. The governor, in his speech just a short time ago, he began his words by blaming Republicans, President Trump, and even so-called right-wing YouTubers. I think referencing the Nick Shirley video, the expose that really brought national attention to what's going on.
How dare this guy show the actual scenes of these empty daycare centers? How dare he do that?
Yeah, well, it could also be, YouTubers or so-called independent journalists that have been camping out outside the governor's mansion in St. Paul blasting music. and the overnight hours, forcing the cops to be called. Maybe his family's just getting tired of it. He did say over the holidays that his family, they discussed this, and that this is the best thing for him to do to not seek a third term. It would have been a record. Nobody's ever sought a third term in terms of governor for the state of Minnesota. But Governor Walz says the buck stops with me. My administration is taking fast, decisive action to solve this crisis, the fraud crisis, and that we will win in the fight against the fraudsters. But the political gamesmanship that we're seeing from Republicans is only making that fight harder to win. That is Governor Tim Walz, in his own words, dropping out of his reelection bid amid fraud in Minnesota that, as you mentioned, Paul, could top $9 billion, maybe more, where whistleblowers allege that they came forward years ago to warn about only for delays and inaction. Walz defended his handling of the wide fraud scandal in the state, citing systemic changes in the way that we do business. He says he's dropping out of the race after concluding that I can't give a political campaign my all. Every minute I have to spend defending my own political interests would be a minute I can't spend defending the people of Minnesota against the criminals who prey on our generosity. State Democrats call Governor Walz a great leader. State Republicans in Minnesota say the state deserves better. And Tom Emmer, the House Majority Whip, who's out of the 2nd District of Minnesota, in a statement says, good riddance.
Well, if people, of course they're not, but if liberals were true to any of the causes they claim to be true to, they would be infuriated by the fact that in recent months people have been charged with defrauding yet a third state program, one that provides services to children with autism. If that doesn't infuriate anybody, it shows you what their true colors are. Shame on them.
So this is a state where property taxes, Paul, are jumping 6.9%. Other taxes are going up. And with word that taxpayers may have been defrauded out of billions upon billions of dollars for autism programs, healthcare programs, education programs, daycare, adult care programs, and where the majority of the fraud seems to center on the Somali community, that we now know responsible for about half of, or at least half of the Somali community in and around Minneapolis. They're receiving government benefits, and so if you've got somebody who's working really hard, somebody who's played by the rules, and yet they're having troubles making ends meet. Yet they're seeing many people in and around Minneapolis driving expensive sports cars and scooping up real estate that nobody else can afford, and buying properties overseas and sending money to politicians and sending money to terror groups, as alleged by the U.S. Attorney's Office. That can be pretty frustrating, and maybe perhaps I'm not going to speak for the governor, but perhaps he and his people were looking at this, maybe looking at support dwindling, and saying that there's a likelihood that we wouldn't be able to be reelected in 2026.
By the way, Jeff Manasseh with this Fox News correspondent, WJR contributor extraordinaire. Word coming out that Maduro has said in court, "I am innocent. I am not guilty." That's a quote, and that he will be back in the courtroom. This coming from Manhattan Federal Court, New York City right now. He'll be back in the courtroom of all times on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. I guess the court doesn't celebrate St. Patrick's Day or doesn't take it into account, but be that as it may, that's the very latest on Maduro, except Maduro's wife, counsel, now saying that her ribs were bruised during capture. And they might want to talk to the people who were beaten, raped, and killed, and ask if their ribs are okay, because there's plenty of proof that Maduro has done all of that, including prostituting young women in prison in order for them to have food.
Yeah, it certainly is a wild story. I think we all woke up over the weekend to news that this had gone down. I'm not going to give you my opinion on it, but I'll just say like I think most people, even Democrats, are saying how impressive are our military to be able to pull that off the way they did.
Oh, my gosh. Regardless of where you stand on whether you think they should or shouldn't have done it, you can't deny that the military pulled off what appears to be a flawless operation, which sends a message to the rest of the world. We've got a pretty damn good military.
That's what I was going to say. It sends a message. I mean, this fulfills the charges that were filed in 2020 against Maduro. He's for which the Biden administration put out a $25 million reward for his capture, his arrest. Trump administration upped that to 50, and they went in and got him. And let the legal people take care of the legal side as Venezuela. We kind of watch and we see videos of most people celebrating that they might have a chance for democracy in what was a communist socialist country that used to be rich and prosperous, much like Iran.
Which was kidnapped by Maduro, wouldn't leave office when he lost, and taken all the money for himself and jammed the people.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not guessing about this. This is a fact of what happened here.
Yeah.
You can argue about all the rest. And Jeff, you do such a great job. We appreciate it. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, my friend. You too.
All right. Jeff Manasseh, Fox News correspondent, WJR contributor extraordinaire. In Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. Welcome back. Hope you had a very happy holiday. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. And a happy new year. We're underway. Fifth day of January of this new year of 2026, 1249. Well, Steve Dolan is a retired Detroit Police Assistant Chief. He always speaks his mind. We love to hear from him as officials in Highland Park are working to uncover whatever details they can about a possible migrant detention center coming to their Wayne County community, while joining with activists in declaring their opposition to the project in general. I guess Highland Park, Steve, was among 22 municipalities listed as locations for the new facilities. Nice to have you on board here as the retired Detroit Police Assistant Chief, and would love to know some of your thoughts on this idea.
You know, I've talked to
what am I hearing there? I'm hearing other stuff in the background.
Are you? Okay, let me step out. Hold on a second. A meeting of the minds of other people about this topic, actually.
Oh, okay. All right.
As a matter of fact, but let me step out for a second. Okay.
All right.
So, I don't think it's a bad idea. Highland Park is what the most has higher unemployment, higher poverty level than Detroit, right? Don't they?
I guess so. I don't follow.
Maybe. Trust me. Detroit is okay. The highest poverty level of any major city. Highland Park is worse. So it could help the economy. And that's a good thing. I don't think they'll put any hardcore criminals there. They'll have, you know, illegal aliens there. We can't say that word, but we can. There'll be a station there. We already have jails in Ryan Correctional Facility. We have the Wayne County Jail. It hasn't really hurt any of the neighborhoods, and yet people are all upset about it. It could actually help Island Park, even though it's only a 2.9-mile city. So,
well, it's not a – I mean, let me just use a little historical background here, perspective. It's not unusual, even for people who are for certain things, that when it comes time to put them in their backyard, they go, whoa, wait a minute. No, I'm for that, but not in my backyard. For example, wind farms. You know, the liberal people who fight for wind farms. Wind farms are what we need. That's the future and all that. We're going to put one in your backyard. What? No, I mean, no, absolutely not. Or even remember when it was cell towers. I can't get a good signal with my phone. I can't get a good cell signal. Oh, good. We're going to put a cell tower in your backyard. No, wait a minute. Of course you can't do that. So it's not unusual for people to hear of something like this, ICE Detention Center, to go up in arms immediately. The immediate reaction is to be against it.
But they shouldn't be. They're upset about data centers, too. The AI, they want AI. They don't want the data centers.
Right.
Okay. If you want progress, if that's what you want, you have to have this. A little give and take. These facilities, and one's a private one. There's already three in Michigan right now, right? Baldwin, North Lake, which is private, and Calhoun County helps out with immigrants. So it hasn't affected these communities. It's actually helped them economically. But you're 100% right. Everyone's going, we need this, we need this. Oh, well, not here, but next door you can do it.
You've got the mayor who the mayor admits she knows nothing about it, has heard nothing about it, but she's clearly against it.
Does that surprise you in Highland Park?
No, but I'm just trying to point out the hypocrisy we're living with all around us.
Yes. She knows nothing about it, and people are going to protest. And where I go to church, there's some Venezuelan people, right? And you heard about the protests here in Detroit. You go to Miami, look how many people are protesting. I mean, we're thrilled with what happened in Venezuela. So it's going to be frozen country both ways.
Their country was kidnapped
by
a ruthless SOB. And to say that there are people out there saying we kidnapped the president of Venezuela. He's not the president of Venezuela. He wouldn't let the president duly elected by the people in office. How do people not remember this stuff? We've got to stop being against things just because President Donald Trump did them. You got to get this out of your head for the new year. You don't go against anything and everything he says or does just because of who it is. That's not going to get us anywhere.
I agree. People are against, they're for the war on drugs. They're all for that, right?
And well, yet, they say they are, but when you take out one of the biggest shooters.
Yes, then they get upset.
They're defending him.
He's actually doing, I've said this before, he's the first president I can recall that's actually do a war on drugs. And now the immigration thing, he's the first president to really do this. And then we're going to put him somewhere, and people are going, how could you do that? Well, because there's so many, we want to, you know, do it the right way. So people are upset. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. It's
1989. Listen to this, Steve. I don't know if you heard this. I played it earlier. I'm not going to play it again. But in 1989, then Senator Joe Biden, who then had all of his faculties, whether you agreed with him or not, at least you knew he knew what he was saying, he urged stronger anti-drug actions, including a strike force against narco-terrorists. In fact, he said this in a speech where he was claiming Bush's war, that'd be H.W. Bush, that H.W. Bush's war on drugs was failing because the U.S. needed to go after narco cartels where they live. He was suggesting this is the only way they were going to get it right. And where are the Democrats remembering one of their own hallowed leaders who became president of the United States in 1989? He was saying this should be done and that he was blaming Bush for not doing it.
Again, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. He was also against busing. But his favorite guy was Byrd. It was for the KKK. People forget that stuff.
They forget it.
Yeah, immediately. So I'm all for this. If it could streamline and make it more efficient. Doesn't Tom Lyons say he wants to run it like a business now and make it more efficient? That's what he said. And, make the whole immigration thing more efficient, more business-like. As opposed to all his government, helter-skelter, losing money left and right. He wants to do it the right way. So you can be pissed off, and complain, but if it works, shut up.
Well, look, and as far as taking over Venezuela and all of that, it won't take long to figure out if what the president has said and what the president then does or directs to be done is in line with that. We're going to say, wait a minute, it looks like an oil grab. You're supposed to be giving this money to the people. Now, I know you've got to pay back the oil companies that spend the money to do all of this, but you can't forget that this is for the people of Venezuela, and you have to prove that. The proof will be, as they say, in the pudding.
There you go. And I think the proof will be there. Are they good? Is he still thinking about bringing that woman back, that they had to escape so Maduro wouldn't kill her?
Well, I sometimes he talks too much, in my humble opinion, and by making the decision that the woman who won the election...
Yes, legally, yes.
Legally, can't make a determination standing there that, well, she doesn't have the support of the people, so she's not going to be good at that. That's not for you to decide if you're telling the truth of everything you want to do. If the people elected her... It's not up to us. It's up to the people, apparently.
As usual, you're spot on.
Always a pleasure speaking with you, my friend. You keep up the
good
work.
Happy
New Year to you. I hope you had a nice holiday and that this new year brings you great health and happiness for us all. That's what I'm hoping.
You too. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Thank you, Steve. Steve Dolan, retired Detroit Police Assistant Chief. We're talking about, a number of things, but the questions that have come up now on the reports of the potential ICE detention center planned for Highland Park. It is reminiscent of the wind farms. I love those windmills. Oh, not in my backyard. Those cell towers. Oh, yeah, not in my backyard. Oh, the jobs from data centers. Oh, not in my backyard. It's just the way we react as we continue on WJR. Oh, so nice to be back with you again in focus with the team. Michael Parsons, our executive producer. Danielle Mason running all the controls. Rich Luzinski running down traffic and weather first on WJR as we all endeavor to give you relentless positive radio. Even if the news isn't positive, we try to put as positive a spin, honest spin on it as we possibly can. Of course, the fall of the dictator. It's rich to hear Maduro say in court that he was kidnapped. This from a guy who kidnapped an entire country by not allowing the duly elected woman to come into office. It's astonishing to me. And people like Mamdani and AOC, America Off Course, somehow are missing that in the mix in what was done in a fabulous, flawless carrying out of the project by our American military. We'll talk about that with John James. And we haven't ignored the Lions, though the Lions seem to ignore the last several games until this last one. But we will talk about the Lions with one and only Anthony Bellino. Did you see that piece on Channel 4 where they did a little in-depth kind of a thing on Anthony?
Yeah, I think the headline was, "Local man has a lot of jobs."
It's true. Yeah, and we've talked about it before. Danny's in Monroe, where Sweet Marie used to shop, and I shopped there in the past. Danny's, that's his family's market. He goes there. First, he does an early morning show. Then he goes there as the butcher and really does work that's very important for the family business. And then he comes up here to do his great show with the legend, Lomas Brown, weeknights at 6 on WJR for Sports Wrap.
Right. He is legitimately there too, Paul, because there'll be some times where we have him scheduled and I call his cell phone and he doesn't answer. I call up Danny's and say, meat department, please. And then I go right. So sometimes we're talking to him while he's cutting up steaks.
I wouldn't have said it if it weren't true.
Right.
He is truly, I mean, this is honestly, it's another form of an American success story.
Right.
He's in the family business because he needs to be. And he's a good boy. He's a good son to understand that. His love is everything else he does.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying he doesn't love being a butcher and all that, but I'm telling you that on the radio, on television, in all of the stadia, is that the plural of stadia?
Stadii, I believe.
Stadii.
Yes.
In all of the stadii, doing the announcing and all of that. He does all of that, and he does a great job. All right, Relentless Positive Radio, we're on top of it. You can stream us at WJR.com from anywhere in the world, and people are doing that, and we appreciate it. Now, for our show, noon to 2, it's difficult at lunchtime to be in front of a radio. You're maybe at lunch or whatever. You can podcast us at whatever works for you, whatever time. You go to WJR.com. At the bottom, it says podcast. Look for Paul W. Smith and Focus and listen to the shows at your convenience. I can tell you the shows are much faster because they cut out all the other stuff. They, you know, you won't need the traffic, the weather, the news and all of that when you're listening at 8 in the morning or 8 at night. I mean, you, none of that would matter. So I hope that you will join us. If you can't join us right after All Talk with Kevin Dietz, I hope you'll join us in the podcast. Now, what other topics? There's so many things. We talked about Joe Biden. We talked about his $417,000 pension, best of any president, because he was a senator for so long and all of that.
Let me ask you this, Paul.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And
yes, sir.
Obviously, we'll go into depth with AB coming up here. But
yeah,
what was your mood like watching that Lions game yesterday? I don't think I would have been happy either way, because when they were winning, I was saying, oh, okay, now they decide to start playing well. And then if they were to lose, I'd say, oh, this season just gets worse and worse. It was a feeling that we haven't had as Lions fans for a long, long time, watching a game where the outcome doesn't really – they're playing for honor, but that was about it. There was no other implications.
What I thought when the game ended and we actually won, I thought, well, there's a switch from the old Lions. Because the old Lions, we would have expected to lose, and we would have.
Right.
It's just the way it was. But we have moved away from the old Lions, and we expect much more from the new Lions. And I still, all this game yesterday made me do was say, what the heck? What? Where was this team for three games? Where was this quarterback? I love this young man. But where was he for like two, three, am I wrong, three games in a row almost?
He
didn't look like himself.
I mean, that Christmas game was probably one of the most brutal watches that I remember with this team. And
you got to ask, what happened? I got to ask. I mean, right. you don't have to ask, but I'm asking, what happened? I don't get it.
Right. I mean, I...
go ahead.
And like I said, we'll talk about this a little more in depth. I think kind of where the wheels started coming off was when Dan Campbell started calling plays, because the offense
You listed that as one of the things.
Well,
but I thought that first game when he called the plays, it was like one of the best games we ever had. We all said, he's a genius.
Yeah, well, it was. And the offense statistically actually improved under Dan Campbell as a play caller. But I think what happened was that took his focus away from being the quote unquote CEO of the team. And I think, although the offense improved marginally, I think other things kind of fell by the wayside, because you had a rookie defensive coordinator who was doing pretty well up until they made that switch. So, to me, I think that that's kind of where we started to lose cabin pressure.
Here's a way off the topic, and that is, much the way at least I felt, having worked in Canada before at CKLW very briefly at a really rough time in their history, but knowing Canada and loving Canada as our wonderful neighbor, I felt really bad when Canada came under fire from our president. I don't know. Did you feel bad when Canada was...
You're talking about back the tariffs and all that stuff.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Canada's screwing us. And everything.
I hated it. I felt like we were in a fight with our best friend that we picked.
Right. Now, it's not that strong a feeling by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, I have no connection to Greenland at all. I mean, I've never been there. I don't know that I know anybody from there, whatever. But I can feel their pain with the Greenland's prime minister, who's now warning the United States to stop its threats of annexation against the territory. He says, no more pressure, no more hints, no more fantasies about annexation. He urged this yesterday, emphasizing that while Greenland is open to a dialogue with the U.S., it will no longer stand for pressure or disrespectful posts on social media.
Well, everyone's probably nervous because of how easy it was for them to oust Maduro that all these
But this guy's not a dictator. This guy's duly elected, and these people are not causing us any trouble. It's that the president feels it would be in our interest to have that real estate for our national defense. If that's the case, Mr. President, work out a deal with Greenland.
Become
allies with other countries.
Build a base.
Yes. Other countries have welcomed us to have bases and put our hardware there without threatening to overtake them and whatever.
Right.
Like, you know, it's not up to me. It's not up to you.
But yeah, the president
even up to the president.
Well, he was like, hey, Venezuela was too easy. Let's see what we can do with Greenland and Colombia.
Well, I don't think he's thinking that way.
I hope not.
I certainly hope he's not. Okay, we're going to go, and we will talk about the Lions and their big victory yesterday and their new season with none other than Anthony Bellino, co-host of Sports Wrap with the legend Lomas Brown Jr. It's Lomas Brown Jr. and Anthony Bellino, weeknights at 6 on WJR, and the well-deserved, wonderful profile piece on Channel 4 for Anthony Bellino that was just on. So that's coming up next here. In Focus, Paul W. Smith on WJR. Great way to wake up Chris Renwick and his team tomorrow morning, 6 till 9. Right here on WJR. Nice to have CreeksideHearth.com joining us now, too, on the Paul W. Smith Focus Show. CreeksideHearth.com. And I heard a promo for one of the great shows, and we're blessed to have them on this station on the weekends. They help so many of us, including myself. The Inside Outside guys, don't miss them on the weekend. Don't miss evenings at 6 o'clock. It's Sports Wrap with Lomas Brown Jr. and Anthony Bellino, weeknights at 6, right here on WJR and right here, right now. Anthony, always a pleasure, my friend.
Uncle Paul, happy Monday to you, my friend. How are you, partner?
I am excellent, and thank you, whoever Joel Sebastianelli, and I don't know if I'm, did I pronounce that last name right?
Yeah, you did great.
Joel Sebastianelli, who did a well-deserved, wonderful profile piece on you on WDIV Local 4. You deserve that, my friend.
Yeah, he really did. Joel did a fantastic job. It was very nice of him to come in and spend so much time here at Danny's Fine Foods and, you know, highlight, you know, the wonderful folks here and the wonderful business that is this fine, illustrious grocery store.
It is.
Where I'm actually standing right now, yeah.
I don't doubt that. It is a Monroe iconic grocery store that even way back when, my mother, Sweet Marie, used to shop there. I used to shop there, and it's still there. Danny's Fine Foods, and it truly is a great family business, your family, and that's why you really do go there, and you run the meat department when you're there. You're the butcher, and you go, you do a morning radio show, you go to the butcher shop, and then you come to WJR, and that's in between all the other appearances you make at the various Parsons? Stadi? Stadium?
Stadii.
Stadia, the plural for all the stadiums that you are there as the host. I can't believe how much you do.
This is true. I'll tell you what, my mother is actually giving your sweet Marie a run for her money. I'll tell you that much. You'd be very proud, as you call your mother sweet Marie. I call mine Special K, and she's definitely giving your mom a run for the money. But it's a relatively busy schedule here, Paul W. But that's okay. Well, I mean, you were working in Detroit and the city of brotherly love at the same time, so you know what it's like.
Well, I worked in New York City and Detroit every week. I flew back and forth on my nickel. And it was just a little more than a nickel, but I did that. But, you know, Special K used to bring us the best cookies ever when you were working on our show as an intern.
You know, she brought some. I delivered some the other night, and Jeff Marsro sat there and ate like five of them. All at one time, he was just shoveling them in. This was like right before Christmas. I brought him in. The sales team, our sales team members are looking at me as Marsro's sitting there just pounding one of each kind of chocolate chip, peanut butter, oatmeal raisin. I mean, this guy's eating them like they're Oreos. These are full blown cookies here. I'm like, Jeff, you're going to have some sugar issues, my friend.
They were delicious cookies, that's for sure. All right, let's get to the harder conversation. The Lions ended their disappointing season on a high note, sweeping Ben Johnson and the playoff-bound Bears by beating them at home 19-16 and a walk-off 42-yard field goal by Jake Bates. But, you know, the problem is I can't help watching them and saying, where were they the last two or three games?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you think about that four-day stretch, too, between, you know, the Sunday the 21st and Christmas Day, and it's like, you know, Paul W., if they could have had that same fight that they showed yesterday, I mean, my goodness, and it was all right there, and the rest of the playoff scenario really played out to our favor. I mean, everything we needed to happen actually happened. So if you win against Pittsburgh and you turn around and you don't lay an egg on Christmas Day in Minnesota, I mean, we're in the playoffs. And I think that that's really the part that makes you shake your head the most, is the fact that all of our, you know, dreams, aspirations, all of the goals were all still right there, no matter how up and down the season was. But, you know, for this team to go out there and play the way that they did yesterday, to show the pride, the heart, even without Alex Anzalone, without Aleem McNeil, without Penei Sewell, you know, for those guys to still show up and play as hard as they did and come out victorious, I think it shows a lot about the character of this team, the makeup of this team. They didn't lay down. They didn't quit. They didn't wave the white flag. They still went out there. They competed. They played hard. They had something to play for, and that was to beat their former offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson. And they did just that. And I think if you're the Bears, you've got some serious soul searching to do, you know, going into the playoffs as the two seed, because that was a game that they should have won. I mean, you know, a Detroit team that's, you know, sitting some guys due to injury, you got to go out there and you got to win that game, especially the way that Detroit manhandled you in week two of this season. That's a bad look for the Bears, and a good way to end the season for the Detroit Lions, who now they have some soul searching to do this offseason. I loved what Coach said at the end of the game in his postgame presser about the fact that, you know, this is on him and this is on Brad Holmes to get this thing fixed this offseason, and that's going to be by addressing some of the key issues that they have, which is one, offensive line, two, defensive line, and then, you know, three is going to be in the secondary.
Well, they won't say it. I'll say it for them. Certainly those touchdowns nullified against the Rams and the Steelers. You got to give the Stripes a little credit for screwing up the Lions, because they really screwed up the Lions with those calls. But be that as it may, we've been through the Frank Ragnow retiring and then being teased that he was coming back. That's over. I don't think that's ever going to happen, right?
Yeah, it'd be very interesting if he did. You know, I can't help but think that if he sat down, you know, he called it quits in June, and then he, you know, did he feel bad about what he was watching? Did he think that he had more in the tank? Did he want to come back? And then that's when he realized that, hey, my hamstring's like torn in half and I can't do this. Like, I'm not going to be able to do it. I don't know. Inquiring minds would like to know, does he think that maybe there is a comeback? I'm not really sure. That's a conversation that they're going to have. But, you know, addressing the center position, does Taylor Decker, you know, is he going to retire after, you know, in this offseason? That's a position that left tackle they'll have to take a look at. Graham Glasgow is another one. So, you know, they've got some serious questions on that offensive line that they're going to have to address and answer immediately.
So what would Coach Anthony Bellino do first up for the new season for the Lions?
Well, first up for this offseason is left tackle, it's center, and it's offensive line depth. Aiden Hutchinson needs, you know, I think Alquadin Muhammad did a really nice job at the other defensive end position, but I definitely think the defensive line needs to be addressed. Is it on the interior? Is it on the opposite end from him? So I think that the first 3 to 4 picks in the upcoming draft, you know, I know that we are drafting talent, not necessarily position of need. I hope that those two things align for Brad Holmes and that the chips fall to where that those areas are addressed, both in free agency and through the draft, because I don't think that we are in a position to where we can take on developmental projects. You have to have guys that you are going to be able to acquire both in free agency and in the draft that can come in and make an immediate impact that you can basically plug and play and get ready to start day one of the 2026 season.
AB, Anthony Bellino, what is your quick take on the 22nd head football coach at the University of Michigan, Kyle Whittingham?
Just what the doctor ordered, you know, maybe an elder statesman with a lot of experience who is just going to right the ship and get this thing turned around. Love the staff that he's putting together. Don't necessarily love what I saw to the quarterback play. I mean, at least we threw the football in the bowl game, so that's a positive. I mean, we don't need a 1924 offense with a $12 million quarterback. So I would expect big things out of Bryce Underwood in year two, and I would expect Kyle Whittingham to get this thing to Michigan and Michigan's offense looking more and more like a 21st century offense come the 2026
campaign. Does the $12 million quarterback have an opportunity to go to the portal because of a coaching change?
He does. I mean, everybody can go to the portal in the current landscape of the NCAA. I don't think that he does. I think he stays.
Because he wouldn't take the money with him, I guess.
No, you'd have to forfeit that. You'd forfeit that cash. But there's plenty of money in college sports that he would find it somewhere. I just think that this is a good spot for him. And I think that this head coach, they're going to tailor make this offense for him, and he'll figure that out very, very quickly.
AB, Anthony Bellino, co-host of Sports Wrap with the legend Lomas Brown Jr. and Anthony Bellino, weeknights at 6 right here on WJR. And if they go to, WDIV.com, can they find Joel's well-deserved, wonderful profile on you? Can you find that online? I don't even know.
Yeah, if you just search WDIV and Anthony Bellino, it'll pop right up in the Google machine. You'll be able to click on Detroit.com. It's right there.
Well, well-deserved, my friend. Keep up the good work. You're a good family man.
Thank you, Paul W. I appreciate you.
All right, Anthony Bellino here at 129 on WJR. Do-do-do. All righty. Boy, oh boy, Michigan voters will have a lot to decide in 2026. A new governor, a U.S. senator, whether to rewrite the state's constitution. All of Michigan's major statewide offices will be vacated at the end of the year due to term limits. And, of course, then the pending retirement of United States Senator Gary Peters, which threw a lot of people for a loop, that immediately made that race to replace him one of the most closely watched in the country. But there is more. And to cover that, we go to the CEO of Harbor Strategic Public Relations, Mr. John Selleck. John, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Paul W. It's good to be with you. We even have to think about the media that will cover us is having a new battle this year. That's on the top of my list. The Detroit News and the Detroit Free Press, recently freed from their joint operating agreement, kind of rolled out this last week in the first new Sunday paper from the Detroit News in a really long time. And they are pepped up to go against each other. And that really only benefits all of us because we get way more scoops, way more information, and we all benefit from that.
That JOA lasted forever. And though it was supposed to only be for business reasons, people couldn't help but think they didn't always maybe separate the papers the way they are certainly separated now for the first time in many, many years. And so I'm kind of excited about it. We've talked to Gary Miles. We're going to have him on. We'll have whoever on we need to talk about this. But that's a very good point I hadn't thought about. And it's a good one, John Selleck. I think we're entering into a new era of wider news coverage on everything that happens around us. And we need to support our newspapers.
Yeah, we absolutely do. They're an essential part of the mix of all the media coverage from WJR to all the TV stations and everyone else that's out there on a more independent basis, because we have so many races in Michigan that are considered to be among just the tiniest handful of toss-ups, our governor's race, our U.S. Senate race, and one of our congressional races, all put in just a handful of the toss-ups in the national media summaries. And what does that mean? we're going to see an endless amount of money being spent here in Michigan to try to win those seats, because they're going to tip the balance in Washington and here in Michigan as far as who's in control.
You know, I think of the governor, secretary of state, attorney general, all 110 state house and 38 state senate seats, all 13 congressional seats, two Michigan Supreme Court seats, the question of whether to hold a state constitutional convention, and whatever else, other questions that might make the ballot. Now, even though President Trump is not on the ballot in 2026, he certainly will loom large as voters head to the polls halfway through his second term. Now, for those politicians who say, well, I've got Donald Trump's support and backing, is that a net positive or a net negative in Michigan?
Well, if you're a Republican and you want to get through a primary election, you need to have that endorsement. And there's little doubt that all the GOP candidates for governor are pushing hard to grab that endorsement. Mike Rogers this time around seems like he essentially has the field to himself for U.S. Senate, and he's already had the support of President Trump. So it does really matter, and I think it's a good question about what it means for the general election. When we talk about politics nowadays, Paul W., and we used to say all politics are local. That was the famous Tip O'Neill's line. But if you look through the Instagram and Facebook pages of Michigan's gubernatorial candidates and its U.S. Senate candidates, they're all talking about Venezuela. So when President Trump makes the decision, it doesn't just happen in his world. It happens in the world of every one of the candidates, both Republican and Democrat, here in Michigan for statewide office or Congress. So we're going to continue to see his effect on these races. Today you have Abdul El-Sayed and John James and others out there talking about Venezuela. And who would have thought that was on the radar screen for those candidates a month ago?
Well, I hope that the Republicans are smart enough to trot out the audio and videotapes of their big president, the last one, Joe Biden, who in 1989, as Senator Joe Biden, urged stronger anti-drug actions, including a strike force against narco-terrorists where they lived, something to the effect of he was criticizing. At that time, it had to be President George H.W. Bush, and saying that the Bush's war on drugs was failing because the U.S. needed to go after cartels where they lived. So it's the Democrats who are now complaining about this. Their leader, their spiritual leader, was calling for this in 1989, and I'm sure that he wasn't the only Democrat calling for that in order to be able to criticize the Republican president at the time. So, you know, the hypocrisy that we live in this world of politics sometimes gets to be overwhelming. John Selleck is here, a CEO of Harbor Strategic Public Relations. Let's face it, there's a big deal situation as we gear up for what could be an historic gubernatorial election, uniquely shaped by now Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan and his decision to leave the Democrat Party, and all of a sudden they started criticizing him, to run as an independent. That's a very big deal, because if there was ever an independent that really had a chance to win it, it would be him.
Yeah, absolutely. First, isn't it strange to say not mayor of Detroit, Mike Duggan? Saying that. We got to get used to saying Mayor Mary Sheffield, and that's a good thing. But Mike Duggan has done something, to your point, Paul W., that no other politician in Michigan could probably do. When he announced that he would run as an independent last year, he passed the laugh test or the smell test. And there's almost no other politician who could have come out and said they were doing that and passed the laugh test. And that's because we've seen his record of winning things he's not supposed to win, quote unquote, not supposed to win as a write-in, not supposed to win as a white candidate who in a city that hadn't elected a white mayor since the early 70s, things like that. And he certainly has accomplished a lot. And one of the things he's been good at accomplishing is raising a lot of money, and he needs that. Fortunately for him, he doesn't need to spend it in the Detroit media market as much. He's already created a name for himself there, which most candidates die to have. He just has to spend some money outstate, where it's a lot cheaper in those media markets like Grand Rapids and Traverse City and Marquette to build your name ID and tell your story. And he has to tell a story out there to keep making an impact, to keep taking voters from both sides, not just the Democrats, but to also grab some Republicans. And we're going to be seeing at the end of January, within just now maybe another less than 4 weeks, the campaign finance reports for all these candidates, Mike Duggan, John James, Mike Cox, Eric Nesbitt, Tom Leonard, Benson, Gilchrist, Swanson. We're going to see all of them put their cards on the table, because now we're getting to where the rubber hits the road and they have to be able to pay for ads and communicate with the voters. We're going to see how much money they've raised going into this actual election year.
Yeah, and not to mention, too, this whole ground-shaking announcement from Gary Peters when he announced his retirement, ending his political career after 12 years in Congress, upper chamber. It really sent shockwaves through the Michigan Democrat Party, and I'm not sure how they're emerging from that shockwave.
Yeah, I think last time around, Senator Stabenow decided to leave. She did a pretty good job of controlling. She's credited with, anyway, controlling what went on in the Democratic primary. You know, it's the Republicans who struggled through an expensive, bruising primary. This time around, as great of a politician as Gary Peters has been, and if you look through his track record, other than losing to Mike Cox for attorney general in 2002, he's been a master politician, and he's been one in Washington, too. He's been in charge of the Senate Dems campaign committees. He was not able to keep this primary clean, not yet. And we have a three-way battle going there. You know, you mentioned earlier Abdullah Syed and Senator Mallory McMorrow and obviously Representative Haley Stevens. They are all raising a lot of money. They're all doing a lot of damage to each other. And it's generated so much attention that when the Cook Political Report looked at which states have toss-up U.S. Senate seats, Michigan is one of only four in the whole United States, and it's an open seat, so there's not even an incumbent involved to fight over. So we're going to see a long, drag-out battle here in the Democratic side of that U.S. Senate primary. We're going to be hearing a lot about it, not only from those three, but from all the forces that want to influence that election.
On the Republican side, we've got Congressman and gubernatorial candidate John James up next. Your thoughts about his chances?
Every single poll that's been out has shown what a massive lead that he has in the primary. He's done well to protect that and grow it. I suspect as he announced his campaign team is getting started here in Michigan full time, we're going to see a lot more of Congressman John James. And he has a chance to run away with this thing and meet Jocelyn Benson and Mike Duggan in the primary. Or in
John
the general election, sorry.
John Selleck, CEO of Harbor Strategic Public Relations. Happy New Year to you, John, and we'll lean on you a lot during this this coming year. Thanks for your help, as always.
All right, hold everybody's feet to the fire. Good job, Paul.
Okay, we continue on WJR, Paul W. Smith in Focus. Always enjoy saying hello to our next guest, but especially today for a variety of reasons. Look, he's a gubernatorial candidate, and he's, as our last guest just said, he has a massive lead in the primary, so that's all good news for him. But Congressman, the Republican from the 10th District, John James, is also once a soldier, always a soldier. And he, in fact, was a helicopter pilot, and we appreciate the knowledge he can bring to this latest story in the big move. And look, I don't care where anybody stands on any of this. I couldn't be more proud of our young men and women in our incredible military to pull off one of the most difficult and most successful operations in the history of the United States military. And coming after several failures in the last administration, this is just what the doctor ordered. That aside, I welcome Congressman, gubernatorial candidate John James to Paul W. Smith in Focus. John, it's always a pleasure having you here, but it's especially useful and helpful to have you here after such an attack with all of your knowledge that you can share with us. Good afternoon and welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me back. Happy New Year. God bless. And yeah, it's been an eventful couple of days. We have the greatest military the world's ever known, not necessarily because of the ability to fight, but the ability to keep the peace. And I think that executing this arrest with no loss of American life, I think is just a testament to the professionalism of our fighting force.
I guess what will matter a lot is how we move from this day forward. I kind of wish the president would not have at least publicly discounted the woman who actually got elected before but wasn't allowed to come in and serve, and saying he didn't think that she had the support in Venezuela. It's not for us to say. It's for the Venezuelan people to say, if we're being true to the fact that we're freeing the Venezuelans from this dictator who, while the liberals are saying, you can't kidnap a president of a country, we didn't. He kidnapped a country. He kidnapped Venezuela. He's not the president of Venezuela. He was not elected to be the president this third term or whatever term it was supposed to be. So I mean, all this stuff gets me very upset. But we're looking to see how it plays out. Any thoughts on your part?
Absolutely. It's absolutely essential that the Venezuelans are allowed to self-determine. And right now, we are in a transition phase, most notably to make sure that another narco-terrorist doesn't come and take the country over, or some of our adversaries don't set up shop in the country. It is necessary and proper to make sure that we do not destabilize the entire country like America had done in the past with Iraq, which is part of the reason why me and my brothers were there fighting a 20-year war. We've learned the lessons from the past, and I believe that right now Delcy Rodriguez is the one who is going to be leading the transition. But if she doesn't do what's right, if she doesn't place the needs of her people first, if she doesn't respect democracy, then she's likely going to face a similar situation to Maduro. The Venezuelan people must be the only ones to determine the direction of their futures. With America's support, of course.
Let me correct something, unlike, say, a Jimmy Kimmel or somebody else who says false things and then, even when he knows they're false, doesn't correct them. I'm going to correct myself. That the woman I was talking about, Maria Corina Machado, she's a Venezuelan opposition leader, Nobel Peace Prize winner. She did not run and get elected. This is not one that she did not run and get elected. She intended to run against Maduro in 24, but the government barred her from running for office, and she went into hiding and wasn't seen for nearly a year. That's the woman that President Trump said Saturday he had not been in touch with her and said it would be, quote, very tough for her to lead Venezuela because, quote, she doesn't have the support within or the respect within the country. She's a very nice woman, but she doesn't have the respect. So I got that confused. She was not elected duly by the people. She didn't even run because she wasn't allowed to run. So I corrected that, unlike the likes of, say, Jimmy Kimmel, who wins big awards for telling lies on television. But go ahead. What else do you want to say, John?
Well, no, I believe the opposition leader was Edmundo Gonzalez, who was elected, and actually, if the Maduro wasn't a narco-terrorist crook, then Edmundo Gonzalez would be the president, the duly elected president, which is what I believe our president was mentioning, is that Maria Corina Machado is a very well thought of political figure, but she is not the one who won the election. It is very important, again, these distinctions are important because the Venezuelans must be allowed to self-determine. No one is interested in forever wars. We must focus on the things that will make America stronger. And goodness, Michigan has its own problems. We have our issues with our education system, our infrastructure, our health care. Our unemployment is second highest in the entire nation. Our population rate is declining. Michigan has its own issues. And so while I was very, very impressed with the work that that was done by our outstanding military, putting the world on notice about our ability to come in and come out and do in 4 hours what Bush and Obama were unable to do in four terms. I think it underscores how special our military is, how well coordinated they were, and what we will do to protect American lives that have fallen to opioid and fentanyl over the years. But again, there's a lot more that we should be concerned about right here at home in Michigan. But I'm glad we have a president who can do multiple things at one time.
John James, Congressman John James, Republican from the 10th District, gubernatorial candidate, said to have a massive lead for the primary, is with us. You return to Washington on the Venezuela clash, the shutdown deadline. Here we go again, a shutdown of the government and a health care fight. Let's go with the health care fight. What are your thoughts?
Well, we absolutely have to root out the fraud in the system. How is it that we have a system under Obamacare that steals from everyone and creates massive giveaways for health insurers and hospitals. I actually have a bill that is going to require transparency in our healthcare system. Well, I should say our sick care system, where it seems like these hospitals can jack up prices. You don't figure out what's going on until after you get the bill, where these insurance companies can get good money thrown at them after bad, while we continue to get sicker and sicker. No more. We have to have a system that works for all Americans, where we have price transparency, where you have the control, not the power brokers in Lansing and D.C., not the power brokers who are working in the sick care system, but you. You deserve to have the transparency. You deserve to have the power, and we're going to be giving that power back to you if I have anything to say about it.
It's just incredible that really one of the most important things that you can do in Congress is make sure that the government is funded so that it can continue to operate. And yet we keep coming. Here we are in the heels of the longest shutdown in U.S. history last fall. This is ridiculous that we keep going back to that. It really is unacceptable. I wish there was something you could do to change that. And I wish you best of luck in your run for governor of the great state of Michigan. And I thank you, John James, as always, for all the good work you've done in the past, that you do today, and that I think you'll do in the future. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you. Go Lions.
Go Lions. Well, okay. There's always next year. Go Lions. John James, Congressman John James, Republican from the 10th District, gubernatorial candidate. He's doing very well in that position for sure. Are you ready to go, Ryan?
Can't wait, Paul W. I'm telling you, 2026 is going to be the year of the lion. Go Lions, just like John James said.
I love the enthusiasm. JR Afternoon with Ryan Ermani. You go on out, make it a great one. Regards, Paul W. Smith.